It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And so that's why tonight I'm just wearing the red cape and the loincloth, and I've oiled myself up like this.
I wish you'd warned me.
I thought it was self-evident. You know, episode 300, 300, you know, that's a thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to wear this outfit when I turn 300 also.
Oh, well, like, that makes sense.
Really, any 300s that need celebrating, I'm going to wear this. I got you one, too.
No, thank you.
All right. We're going to look weird.
Okay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast in the world that gave up right on episode one and somehow is just still in the process of giving up over 5.5 years later.
We're committed to this giving up thing.
But we can't get it right. we've gotten close.
That's what I mean. Sometimes. We keep trying to get it right. We're not going to stop until we do it correctly.
We have tried a lot of different ways and sometimes like... Oof, so almost
close.
There, but...
So close.
We are bad at this. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. And this is episode 300.
Which you suggested we need to have a lot of slow motion in it, and I would, like, kick you into a well.
Yeah, or whatever that is.
I noticed,
I've never
like,
even seen the movie,
no,
so...
No, me neither, no. Before anybody emails me and says, you know, there's a lot of hot shirtless guys in that, I do, which makes me extra sad, because I also know Zack Snyder directed it, and Frank Miller wrote it, and that's just the worst combination
that's
ever.
That's a pretty bad combination.
Like, that's...
All those people, there's a lot of hot, half-naked guys in my living room right now, so whatever.
Yeah, that's true. You want hot, half-naked guys, we got them here for the celebration. That's the thing. They did, like, two movies, and I mean... they're the famous ones that are in it. Jared Butler, and I don't know, there's a couple other ones, I think. But that's still like 296 guys out of work, and then brought back for a sequel. I assume they use the same 300.
I don't know.
I
don't even know the whole story. Like,
it's based on a true story, totally.
But I mean, the idea is that 300...
Sorry, it's based off of a psychotic man's graphic novel that is based off of a true story.
300 Spartans up against a huge force or whatever outnumbered. But I don't know, I mean, do they win? Do they win but lose a whole bunch of guys? I mean...
I think they win, I don't know. Yeah, but they are half naked. And the point is, they've had exactly two jobs.
I'm asking these questions in relation to the whole sequel
for
thing.
For just 50 cents a day, you can adopt one of the nameless guys from 300.
What I'm saying is, how can you...
And letters.
How can you have a sequel...
Mostly photos.
How can you have a sequel if they all die?
Probably they don't, then. Unless it's a prequel. I don't know. But they brought back Gerard Butler, so at least somebody lived, or it's a prequel. Or twin brother. Oh my god. Somebody please tell me that that's how that sequel worked. Is that it was Gerard Butler's character's twin brother. Oh, I would go see it if it's that. I still wouldn't see the first one, but I'd see the second one. For those of you who just joining us or who listened last week and were like, they never explained what the hell this show is.
We didn't?
No.
Oh.
Here's how the show works. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. I feel like I'm one of those head-on commercials. Apply directly to the forehead. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Apply directly to the forehead. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Anyway.
Regular people.
People like yourselves write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrified. Who was I with recently? I was recently with a listener, and we said something, the word transmogrify came up or whatever, and we were both like, magically transmogrifies the emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. We, its erstwhile servants, draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show. And seriously, people, we've now done this 300 times.
300 times!
What is wrong with us? And more importantly, what is wrong with you for listening?
You think?
I just had an idea.
Oh.
Huh. Good job.
When you say the part about email and the note card, with circles and arrows on the back, explaining each one, you should add that to the shtick. You don't even know what I'm
talking about. I really don't. My wife, ladies and gentlemen, I'm
no. You can get anything you want.
At Alice's restaurant.
Yeah. When they're in court, they have all these pictures with circles on the and arrows on the back.
This is a thing. This is not the first time this has happened. The biggest problem in our marriage for 12 years, the source of every issue we have ever had is my wife's misconception that I know Alice's restaurant at all.
I don't know,
like,
either.
The number of times she's like, get it, and it's a lyric from that song. I'm like, no, I don't.
Also, did you see you were holding the tunnel like this, and Addy tried to jump through
it? I did. He and I do a lot of tunnel tricks on the podcast.
All right.
And people love it.
No, this happens so much with her.
Because
she always seems to think I know the song. I'm like, I don't know this song. Whoa, good jump, Addy. That was good. You were like a dolphin there. Where were we?
I don't know.
We never do. The hat magically transmogrified. Anyway, yeah, so that's the whole show, and we've done it 300 times, and here we are. So, 5.6 years ago or so, I emailed William with just a magical hat and a dream. I had just joined Facebook.
Oh, really? When this
late.
Happened?
Yes, I had joined Facebook quite late. And actually, it's funny, it's the only time I haven't hated Facebook's stupid, hey, remember this thing bullshit, was my friend from college sent me a snail mail letter in which he had cut out both letters and images from magazines, like a ransom note, and it said, Papa Tony, because that was what they called me back then, if you join Facebook, Paula Deen will give you this gay boy. And that was like it. And it had a picture of Paula Deen. This was before Paula Deen scandals.
Okay.
But it had a picture of Paula Deen, and it had a picture of the, like, this hot hunk guy and stuff, and everything was done in the ransom note letters. And I had been thinking, you know, maybe just because it's cool to be able to keep in touch with people, but that I was like, okay, that is too... That was too much effort. Like,
that's a lot of work.
Like, that was... And it wasn't... I mean, he was definitely a friend, but it's like, if you were like, name your top friends in college, he was usually hanging out with us, but I wouldn't have put him there. But the fact that he cared was very sweet, and so I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so I did it because of that. But yeah, he apparently put a picture of it and posted about it at the time, and so Facebook recently was like, hey, 6 years ago. And so he shared it, and I was like, oh my God, I have that thing somewhere. But anyway, so I got on Facebook. And this might, at the time I was like, oh, I'm wonderful, but I think this might just be a thing if you're late to Facebook. Everybody is so psyched you're there and wants to friend you just right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh my God, what's been happening with you? Tell me everything. And I was so excited because there were people like, oh my God, what's been happening to you? Tell me everything. And it was wonderful. I'm over that now. I feel like I know too much too often about these people. Short answer, everyone got bald, fat, and pregnant is basically how it all goes down. So run with that. I mean, there's a few that are interesting. There's one guy who has since come out as gay and who gave no indications in high school. But now that he's come out, I'm like, He was one of those who just was a little too pushy in his heteronormative, like, exclamation. And now I'm like, oh, okay, now I see that there was some stuff. Things like that. But in general, you know, I'm already over it. But at the time, I was like, everybody loves me. I need to exploit this somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they're going to get over it. They love me because I'm the new guy. But I need to do something cool with this while I have everybody's attention. And this is what I came up with. And I went through several ideas for podcasts, but every single one, there were already 1,000 of them.
Yeah.
Even if you're like, oh, but this has a twist. No, that twist is already out there. And I really should have thought of it because I had this magical hat. So I don't know why that wasn't my first idea, but it was like my 6th. And then I told William about it. I'm trying to remember. This is going to sound horrible. I'm trying to remember why I picked you.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a huge mistake.
Because we had done other creative work together.
Yeah.
That was probably... Or that I thought you'd be the only one free. I mean, I don't even know what I was thinking. But...
What?
But, I mean, that's the thing. You were absolutely my first choice. I didn't ask Trish. I didn't email anybody else. You were absolutely my first choice. I just don't remember why.
I know you've regretted it every day since. And
well, yeah, so much of this do I regret, just constantly.
Do you think
it's weird? We do it once a week, and I spend probably 6 days a week just sobbing over why it happens in my life.
Do you think any of our listeners have listened to all 300 episodes? I have. I've listened to them all.
That's what I'm wondering.
But I think I'm probably the only person who has listened to them all.
Here, sorry, I gotta.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Something we're recording, but it's not showing it correctly for some reason. There you are, now go. Or stop, whatever, as long as you're recording it. I don't know, this is a very good question. Has anyone, it doesn't have to be, like, when they aired or in order or anything, because I know some people skipped for a while and then came back. Has anybody listened to all 300? If you have, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us. Honor system here, people. Do not lie. And if you have, I don't know, we'll come up with something cool, because that would be cool to know if you've done that. Wouldn't it be weird if it was somebody who, like, never spoke before or anything?
That would be interesting. Do you think we have those?
No. I don't even think we have the listeners who claim they're listeners. Like, I'm like, really? You listen? Come on. I mean, except Jazz. I'm super confident Jazz is a listener.
Dave listens.
Because Jazz recollects details I don't remember, and I was here.
Yeah, Dave listens. He'll say things to me
afterwards. That's the thing. Most people, Jazz is real obvious because she's there. Most of the other people, it's sporadic how much they say things or write in.
Mm.
And so my anxiety kicks up. So it's like, no, it's been a few weeks. They haven't talked to me about it or made a comment or wrote it. I'm like, they're done. And then they pop up again and stuff like that. So, yeah, I seriously don't remember why I came up with this as the idea. But here we are. How was your week?
Well, just work mostly, the biggest. The biggest news media-wise was Westworld.
Oh my God, yes, sorry. We have to talk about Westworld. We absolutely have to talk about Westworld because it finishes well. In fact, today, HBO put out the soundtrack.
Oh.
And it's like the real soundtrack. So you've got the opening theme and all the player piano songs, but you've got like Sweetwater's theme and stuff like that too. So all the stuff. And I got that immediately off of Apple Music, and I've already listened to the opening credits theme probably like 15
times.
It's
really good.
When I was leaving work waiting for Trish in the giant marble foyer at work, I was just playing it out loud the thing just over and over.
Of course. Yeah.
People kept like hearing it. They couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was fun. Now, this is going to be very tricky because I really don't want to spoil anything for people.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say about it that would spoil anything, I don't think.
Well, I absolutely have specific spoiler things I have things to say about, but I can work around it. Yeah.
Okay.
We should just pay very close attention when we speak.
Well, I don't really have anything else to talk about but that, so we can just start and talk about that, and then you can go on with your week when we're done if you still want to. But why don't you go ahead and start? Because, like I said, I've only got one thing to say about it, and I don't think it's very interesting.
No, I think it's interesting. Let's start with that then, and we'll see what.
Well,
because maybe it'd be interesting if it's one of my things or something.
Well, okay, so
20 minutes later,
there is a. Well, I didn't think this would be spoilery, but maybe it is. So maybe I shouldn't talk about it quite that the way I thought I was going to. There is a.
You do sometimes tread that line weirdly.
It's the show is very philosophical, and there's a certain philosophical approach.
Cats are fighting.
And human behavioral.
Not because of William.
Human behavioral approach that's purported to be a human behavioral scientific approach to things that is featured in the show. And it's problematic in a lot of pretty important ways. The rest of the show is fine, as far as I can tell. It's brilliant. It's interesting. I think it says some interesting things about, you know, existential issues, human behavior, things like that. But there's a certain model of human consciousness that is discussed, and it is a problematic one. And it kind of it bothers me a little bit that it's in there and that it's prominent and that it's potentially. I mean, I don't think anyone cares about it who watches it except me, probably.
Well, and if it's what I think it is, it took me a second to figure out what you might be talking about. Because if it's what I think it is critical to the whole show, but I think it is literally mentioned once.
Twice.
Okay.
It's mentioned twice. Because I remember when it was first mentioned, and I thought, oh,
does it involve the word cornerstone?
No.
Okay, that's not what I thought it was. All right. Oh, no.
Well, I...
Yeah, no, don't do it.
Yeah, I won't. I won't, but it's... like I say, I doubt anyone...
You're going to have to tell me afterwards, though, because
I doubt anybody cares about it other than me, but it's one of those things that I often complain about in American media and in shows or whatever, where a certain... It's not just this show, but just about any show you watch, if it ever speaks to human nature, it almost always frames human nature as like inherently narcissistic, inherently individualistic, inherently...
And you have some very strong views about human nature.
Self-centered.
That are very counter to
Yes,
that.
That's exactly right. Which aren't just formed by my opinions, but formed a little bit by what I understand is the empirical evidence. So... and I think I think that an improper understanding of human nature and human behavior is what allows our culture to be in a lot of this problems that it's in, you know, up to and including the recent election of Donald Trump to the presidency. I mean, that kind of thinking about the way human beings work is symptomatic of all of these other problems. So, you know, even though it's...
Like the living embodiment of the Wikipedia game.
Even though I don't think most people cared about that aspect of it, and in a way it was sort of a minor downplayed aspect of it, there were so many other things about the show that were interesting, and I like the show all overall, that little piece bothered me in a way that that a lot of shows bother me when they turn to talking about human nature and they totally screw it up. And they reinforce these notions out in the popular dialogue about human nature that are totally wrong and that feed back into people, you know, behaving badly, like voting for Donald Trump, for example. But anyway, that's as much
so
as I
what I'm saying is Westworld got Donald Trump elected.
No, I'm saying that there it fell prey to certain cultural beliefs. And, you know, incorporated that into the plot of the show, like a lot of shows do. You know, it's not the only one that's
now,
done
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
When I said, so William says that Westworld got Donald Trump elected, did you think I was being serious or that listeners would think that was a true thing?
I thought you were just joking around.
Because it seems like you said, no, that's not true, and then attempted to explain why that was not true, which to me implicit in that is... that somebody thought it was true.
No, what I said didn't have anything to do with what you said. I was just finishing or probably reiterating my point.
Okay.
You know how I often repeat
things
over and over.
I do know that.
And sometimes it can seem like I'm repeating it in response to something you've said, but I'm just repeating it to repeat it for some stupid reason I don't know. But anyway, that probably was very cryptic to everybody, including you.
No, so. I think I... Well, I mean, I may not know the specific... You clearly have a specific thing about it, yes, but I'm like... I'm pretty sure I get the gist.
Very specific.
I'm pretty sure I know... Given how Westworld views human nature and how I know you view human nature, I'm like, yeah, no, I can... I can put it together pretty easily.
Well, and maybe it's maybe it works different for artificial intelligence than it does for humans. I don't. I personally doubt that that's true, but you know, maybe someone could assume that's
no,
true.
And
I don't
the
know.
Truth is, nobody remotely did research when writing that for this because it was sci-fi. That's the thing. Nobody has ever been like, "Oh, let's look into this," and come out deciding differently from you on human nature. They're just like, we're making action sci-fi.
Yeah.
And I'm betting they frequently determine how human nature is going to go by a model that fits whatever happened in their show.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Because I think if they went with your model of human nature and human behavior, Westworld would be a very different looking show.
Probably. And, you know, it made for an attractive narrative. As
which is absolutely what they would...
Right. As misleading as it may or may not be, it was definitely an attractive narrative. Definitely so.
I have a lot of feelings. I'm still a little bit processing some of the feelings of the show. I liked it. I loved it. I'd say, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend it to anyone. It's also really dumb. and it's also, I don't know, I'm starting to hit on some of it. Did you see Cracked Response video today?
Yes, I did see that.
I felt that was quite insightful.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Sure.
And I'm also starting to put together that I think a lot of complaints I have with this show are complaints I have heard from other people about Lost.
Oh, yeah.
And so
sure,
I'm sitting here going, I just may be joining the camp of people who's sick of J.J. Abrams. Because the whole thing is a lot of artificial mysteries. As they said in the video today, yeah, it's like, somebody gave you a puzzle box with like 12 pieces missing, and then gave them to other people, and spontaneously on your journey, one of them handed them to you. And it's just completely artificial. I also feel that... The ending of the Man in Black storyline in the final episode, I don't think they satisfactorily got there. I didn't buy it.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people have mentioned that. And I mean, they covered all the steps in their narrative, but they really shortened and glossed over aspects I'm like, I don't think that worked.
To the point where it almost felt tacked on. You knew it wasn't.
Well, and here's
but it almost
the thing.
Felt that way.
Here's the thing. For those who know what I'm talking about, this will work fine. And actually, this is a careful thing out there. There is a fan theory, and there was before the show was done, about this. And I purposely avoided it. But then when I was talking with a friend about something I noticed that very few people did, he was like, oh my god, that just confirms da-da-da theory. And I was like, what? And he's like, oops. And he says, well, it's just a theory. I was like, yeah, it's just a fan theory. I'm like, but it makes a lot of sense. And sure enough, that sort of turned out how things to be. But ever since then, I was sort of like watching for it and thinking on it. I'm like, I don't know. What really happens is in 2018, which is when the second season will come out, and I'm not just making stuff up. That's actually what they've said. I want to watch it all a second time. Because the internet's already done it, and there are some really interesting things that if you know how the show goes, you see things.
Sure.
They did pretty well with that. which is surprising, because they had to stop production for a while to try and figure out getting started. But, I mean, there's different plot lines, so maybe they had some of them down and not others. And I'm very much of the opinion, as it does appears to be most of the internet, that the last shot of Ed Harris in the show was his finest moment and arguably the best moment in the whole series. He acted it perfectly. People love that because it was a very believable moment.
No,
that
I'd agree with that.
Like, that character was very sort of archetypical, and then we started getting little nuance that we didn't do anything with, and then in that moment, like, it really crystallized that character. Also, the correct response theories about what season 2 will look like, not anything I'd considered, and interesting. I don't know. I had assumed, and I think a lot of other people assumed, that it'd be a Fargo thing and we'd go back in time or something.
Okay.
To just a different era.
Okay.
But the idea of starting season 2 where season 1 left off is interesting. I'm a little worried it may travel into a genre that I'm not a big fan of if it does that, but we'll see.
Hmm.
But overall, yeah, I really liked it. Excuse me, recording people, I've got a text. It's from a gamer friend of mine who is in Hawaii.
Oh.
She's asking if I have that recent Neil Gaiman Humble Bundle, which I do not. So those of you out there, maybe if you're listening to this on time, go to humblebundle.com and see if there's a Neil Gaiman Humble Bundle that might be awesome. All right, yeah, so that's the only thing that happened in your week was Westworld?
Well, lots of things happened, but nothing to really... You know, interesting to talk about. A lot of shows wrapped up their, you know, mid-season finales and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, we're finally caught up on Lucifer, which I want to talk about that one too, because there's a big reveal and a twist at the end, but the way they laid it out, for a split second, I thought it was something else that would have been, like, really kind of messed up. I'll explain it to you afterwards, because I don't think it'll be a big deal. But, weirdly, even though it wrapped up weeks ago, we just on the DVR finished the last episodes of Atlanta.
Hmm.
Still recommend that show to everybody. It was fucking awesome. And weird. Very weird to watch as a white person and as a northern person. And yeah, a lot of that stuff. Tackles a lot of stuff in it. Also very funny. Not a lot else. I watched some movies. I watched a movie called Born of Fire. It is a movie from 1986. It is British made. It is, I guess you would call it a horror film. And it has some gore in it, so that would make sense. But it's weirdly sort of a thriller thing as well. I don't know. It's the worst. But it's hilariously terrible. And it's not, like, you know, like I think recently I talked about one that's a truly awesomely bad movie called Cauldron, Baptism of Blood. But that was clearly made by people who didn't give a damn who had $5. This movie was made by serious professionals who were trying to make a very serious, psychological sort of weird religious horror movie. They just did a terrible job. And it's interesting. So many of the people are quite successful British actors who went on to do other things. Like, not people, I couldn't drop the name and you'd know it. But they're people who totally did things, including this one character who's who can't speak and, like, lives in caves or whatever and is hideously deformed and, like, is really deformed in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at one point I turned to Trish and I'm like, because Trish saw the second half of it with me. And I was like, the sad thing is he's the best actor in this and he probably never worked in film again. No, he's a British citizen. He's done a bunch of movies. He was a major character on Doctor Who for a while. He founded his own theater troupe that specifically worked with players with disabilities. And like, no, he did all sorts. I think he's still alive. Does all sorts of stuff. So that was kind of cool to find out. It has a woman character in it who never gets a name. In the credits, she's listed as the woman. And I know that could happen in almost anything, but this isn't a little side character you see in The Mists or something. This is the female lead, and, like, she hangs out in like, modern times, and she has a job. We see her talk with her boss and things like that. She just never tells anyone her name, and apparently no one cares because she's the woman. It's the pastiest, saddest-looking hero ever. There are flashbacks to his father, because his father was the story involves what happened to his father and how his father died and stuff. And the flashbacks are hilarious because it is incredibly clear that it's just the lead actor with a fake beard on that's not quite the same color as his head hair. By the way, the whole movie is about fighting to save the world from the apocalypse, all with flutes.
Mm.
Like, it's about being a powerful enough flute player to beat the master flautist who is going to play a song that's going to wipe out the world.
Wow.
I wish I was, embroidering here. No, this is embellishing. This is the real thing. There is a line in the movie that says, he must have the strength to turn the flute from evil.
Mm.
I stopped the movie when that line happened just to talk with Trish about it. Having the power to turn the flute from evil. Mm. Powerful shit, this flute. And I'm not just saying they were like, oh, it's music. No, it's about flutes. It's about goddamn flutes. And saving the world with your flute playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not a 12-year-old girl in an animated cartoon. Like, no, it's just this dude playing the flute to save the planet. Also, there's a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's part of how we know shit's going weird, is this volcano erupted in this place.
I gotcha.
And we keep getting shots of it, still with the lava and stuff. They're always really poorly timed, like, to where you think it's, like, a metaphor. So, like, two people are, like, making out, and then we cut to the volcano, like, erupting lava. Has nothing to do with the previous scene. It's meant to be a scene change, but you don't get it. There's other times where there's... Well, I'm just going to say, the female lead at one point bleeds out of her vagina a bunch of frog's eggs into a pool that's a stream that's running down this hill.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets weirder after that. And then, like, right after this, we cut to the volcano again, and I'm like, is this a metaphor? Like, is this for, like, her insides are in turmoil? No, it's just the volcano. And it's just reminding you that the volcano is still, like, a danger. They never got it right. There's, like, five volcano shots in it. And they all feel like they're trying to say something about the scene right before. And I don't think any of them are. So I highly recommend this film. It's ridiculous. So watch it. Yeah, it's a good one.
Have you ever heard of the... I think it's called... film's called Love Witch.
Love Witch.
I think it was just released this year. See, Screen Junkies had this thing where they talked about a whole bunch of movies that released in 2016 that you might not know about. I'd actually heard of some of them. But one of them
Love Witch is a sandwich with love in the middle?
No, I think it was called Love Witch, and they showed a clip of it, and it looked like it was made 20 years ago. I don't know. But apparently on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got like a 95%.
Oh!
Critics, like every single critic who looked at it thought it was great.
I'm gonna have to look into this. Well, sometimes if you can nail the satire.
Well, maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they don't give them ratings like that for movies that are just fucked up. The Room did not get 95s.
But yeah, it was some ridiculously high. All the critics thought it was great. I Love Witch, I think it was called. If that's not it, then go to Screen Junkies and see if you can find their video that talks about 2016 movies. Like, there was one called Nine Lives. It's got Kevin Spacey in it and Christopher Walken.
Oh no, where he's a goddamn cat.
Yeah, I hadn't heard about it.
And it's not old, it's like now.
That was just this year.
Yeah, it's a movie where Kevin Spacey is a high-powered businessman who doesn't have time for his family, and he dies and then gets put into the body of his cat. But he can still talk like himself, and he, like, learns lessons and shit, but it's, like, not a kid's movie. Apparently there's some, like, really fucked up shit, like not really twisted, but it's a very mature film, except that he's a cat. And, in fact, the rumors are that, like, the movie was not a comedy and didn't have a cat in it, and then studio execs had notes, and it became... That's the rumor.
Huh.
Yeah, oh, God, I forgot about that. Yeah, no.
You should maybe watch this video, because there might be other films they mentioned that you'd be interested in seeing. Like, one film released in one theater and grossed $70.
Nice.
But I mean,
movie was called Inquire Within.
No, I don't remember what it was.
Theater
but it,
I mean, was just outside Cedar Falls.
It was a film that had somebody you know.
What happened is we charged Mick's mom $70 for a ticket. In fact, we didn't even we just asked her for $70.
Anyway.
She was very kind to us.
What else did you want to say about your week?
I can't believe Mick's mom gave us the house. It's like we were in high school. Dude, my mom says we can make our video here.
Well, we had to do something.
I know, but I always forget
that.
Then
I put a hole in the rug at work.
I always forget that part of the story when I'm telling people about the making of it. And every time I get there, I remember, and it cracks me up again. And I'm like, "Yeah, oh, yeah, we had to use Mick's mom's house. She just let us use it. We hung out there all day. She bought us pizza."
I worked really hard to get a different location, by the way.
Oh, no, it was a great location.
Well, the location was fine.
The office setting was really worked well.
It was fine, but it's not what I had envisioned originally. I mean, I talked to people in town about renting space and everything, but just couldn't get it to happen.
They're like, "You get out of here, you left-handed Eskimo lesbian midget albino." Sorry, that was the other one.
Atheist. Gotta throw that in there.
Was atheist? No, this is a specific reference.
Oh, okay.
This is from a Dead Milkman album.
I thought you were just stringing together a whole bunch
of... No, it talks about, left-handed lesbian albino midgets. Eskimo midgets. And... how he knew one who was always doing bad things like holding children over open manhole covers. And so one day he saw her doing that and he ran over and said, "Listen, you left-handed albino." He always changes the order when he says it. Like, "You put that kid down." Like, then she bit me. And then he starts going, "I felt myself getting shorter." "Felt myself getting left-handed." He goes through the whole thing and starts freaking out that he's transforming, and then it turns out it was just gas. The Dead Milkmen were a weird band. Very weird band.
Okay.
Just gotta say. So, yeah. Born of Fire. Now, I feel it is important to specify that's what this movie is called, and you gotta get the syntax right, because there's a lot of movies that, like, to use the word born and some word involving fire and then just a little connection in between. For instance, I believe there was a movie I saw when I was looking up this one called Born in Flames, which I believe is a fairly depressing documentary about something. So don't get mixed up here. Born on of... God damn it.
Born on Fire. Put it out! Put it out!
Well, no, we were joking about this today, and the one we came up with was Born Despite Fire.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, my mother was literally on fire while she was giving birth. But I'm surprised this one didn't come up, Born on Fire. I came out already cooking. The doctor slapped my butt and said, "Ow!" And then I flew around the room, and they called me Johnny Storm. No, Born of Fire. Of and fire, not flames. Born of Fire.
But somehow it has to do with flutes.
There's a lot of fire.
Okay.
The bad guy can shoot fire out of his eyes. His hand, actually not his hand, the human skull that he wears where his hand used to be catches fire sometimes. He lives on, I mean, there's the volcano and all that shit. Like, that's the whole thing. What? Oh my god. Yes, the villain is made up to look really creepy, very pale, his skin kind of looks like it's been burned and stuff like that, very gaunt, and you see so much of his genitals. Okay. He's just naked all the time, and something weird is going on with his genitals. Like, I'm not saying it was prosthetic or anything, but it looks aftermarket, it looks like something he got after he was born. Somehow, I don't know. But it's just out there. And he just walks around. And at one point, even Trish, like in the middle of the movie, she's like, "Please stop showing me your penis." To the TV. The TV did not listen. So you have to watch out for that. But yeah, a lot of fire. A lot of fire in this movie. And that dude's penis. Okay. Come on, you went through Westworld. You'll be fine. I have a straight male friend recently that hasn't seen it, and I was recommending it, and I was talking to him, like, "Oh my god, and so much nudity." And he brightened up and said, "Yeah?" And I said, "Yeah, you will probably double the number of penises you've seen in your lifetime. And I got to watch his face just fall.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, no, very little of it is attractive nudity. So, that was fun. I feel like, oh, I did do some writing, not much. And a lot of it I didn't change a lot, but there are a few places that I did. A lot involving very mundane descriptions, like, did I describe what this person is wearing earlier?
Yeah, yeah.
And the problem there is I don't know which version to look it up in, because I did in the old version, but I described something very different about their clothes in the current version. And then I was going to refer to it again, and yeah, that became a thing. But I don't like this thing where it's not scrolling. It's making me nervous. So, yeah, I got nothing else, so we should maybe hat.
Okay. Congratulations to those people who get their question read on the 300th episode.
On the 300th episode. There is no greater honor that I can think of.
So far.
Ever.
Coffee?
No, thank you. Oh, coffee. Yes, what does coffee have to say?
What's your happiest memory from childhood, and why is it the happiest? It is impossible for me to rank my memories from childhood. I mean, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know what criteria I would use to say, this is my happiest memory. I'm sure some people have those, like something they constantly revisit when they're feeling sad or they want to feel better. I don't have anything like that.
I didn't order no food, so I don't know what that's about. But Trish probably did. Trish, food's here! Kind of ruined my bit I was going to do. The timing's off now.
The timing's off.
Yeah, because you said your part, and then there was a pause, and I was going to be like, I killed a squirrel once. My favorite memory was when I absorbed my twin in the wood. Here's the deal. I'm sitting here thinking about this while you're talking, because that's what I usually do. And I'm a little disturbed to find I mostly remember the bad memories. And I mean, not necessarily bad. I remember, like, dumb things that for some reason just freaked me out that time when I was a kid. Like, not, you know, like, oh, the time my dad beat me with a rake. No, like, the time my dad was screwing around pretending to be Dr. Shrinker from the old Sid and Marty Krofft show. And it, like, scared me too much, and I was not having fun. And it took him a while to figure that out. You know how parents are. Totally mundane thing that freaked me out. But I'm like, I remember that. I'm like, okay, do I remember a different version with my dad playing happily? No, I don't have that. I mean, I am confident it happened. I remember being like 5 and swimming. There was a public fountain downtown that pretty much people waded in and stuff, and it was considered fine. And I remember doing that, and there were a couple of older girls who were also there, and so I was trying not to bug them, and then I remember one of them whispering to the other and says, look at that girl. And they were pointing at me because my hair was just a little bit too long. And I remember being very weird about that at the time. Because when you're little, gender identity is a fairly big thing. One of the few things you've been told about yourself is, you're a boy, you're a girl. So for somebody to be like, no, that's not true. They're like, huh? Yeah, I don't have a lot of... It's so weird to say, I'm like, I don't have a lot of good childhood memories. And I'm like, but I had an awesome childhood. I was very happy with my childhood. I just can't give you specifics, you know?
Well, happy was normal, I guess. And so what? So you didn't take note of it.
Yeah, sort of. Remember Thursday nights when we watched Cosby Show? And Star Trek Next Generation. Those were good nights. Oh, because the whole family would watch that. I remember watching that up in my parents' little tiny black and white TV in their bedroom for some reason. Normally, we had one color TV that was bigger than the others. It was like a 12-inch or something. And it was color. It was our oldest TV. And we would watch a lot of stuff on that. We watched a lot of MASH, a lot of Murder, She Wrote, a lot of Magnum P.I. Those were good times.
Well, I mean, you know, if I sat down and just listed all the things I can remember that are great, and then maybe over the course of a few months, things that I would remember, I'm sure I could fill a book with things that are great childhood memories, but not any one of them is any better than the other. I mean, I suppose I give some priority to memories about my mom, you know, now that she's gone, but I wouldn't, you know, in a general sense, say they're my happiest memories.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Is your happiest memory the memory of when you were the happiest, or is it the memory that makes you happiest to remember now? Because I feel like that's probably different. In fact, in a lot of ways, I'll bet a thing that gives you your happiest memory now is probably something that didn't seem that remarkable at the time, because most of my happy memories are like, wow, if I'd only known then, like, you know, what it would turn into. Like, I remember my third grade teacher recommending a book to me for the first time, and that was the start of a huge love of reading.
Yeah, you talked about that.
And at the moment, it didn't matter. Yeah, no, that's what was fresh in my mind from then. I'm like, but at the moment, she was just recommending a book, and I don't even remember which book it was, because she recommended quite a few. They were all children's books, so it didn't, like, live with me forever, I don't think. I guess if she recommended The Book of Three. Or no, sorry, not The Book of Three. The Overseer Understone. That's a series that stuck with me. But in general, I don't remember that act. I just remember it happening. And now it makes me so happy to remember that it happened.
I don't know if I've got things that ended up being really bad.
Yeah, like, yeah, there's that. Also those, yeah.
But
yeah,
not,
yeah,
not anything. I mean, I can think of things that were good at the time, but I seem to know at the time that, wow, this is a really important thing, and this is going to have an impact on me for the rest of my life. I always sort of could see that based on what it was. Not too many things that I didn't think to, you know, I didn't have two thoughts about at the time, and then later it's like, wow, I'm really glad that happened. Well, I suppose that happens in relation to meeting certain people. Like, I didn't know when I met this person that it was going to be a big deal, or that I'd know them my whole life. I mean, when I first met you, for example, I didn't have any clue that we would be doing something like this.
No, to the degree that you don't actually remember when we first met.
I don't?
No, you've claimed not to. You taught one of my training classes, and you don't remember doing that.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember teaching training classes.
Yeah.
I just don't.
But you don't, like, remember me.
Nope.
Yeah. Here's a weird mix of them. So, my sister's in high school. I'm 8 or 9, I think. And she's got a boyfriend. His name is Mark. And I've met Mark. Mark's pretty cool. He's okay. And Mark comes over to see my sister. And my mom says, go up and tell Sarah that Mark's here. So I go up. What I didn't know, a few things I didn't know. One was, he wasn't, like, she wasn't expecting him. And so she wasn't, like, ready to see him or whatever. But there was also other stuff, I think she's explained to me. Like, this was near the end of their relationship, a bad thing. So I go upstairs and I say, Mark's here. And she says, oh, shit. And so I head back downstairs. And here's the thing. We know how this goes. And we understand. I like to think we understand it. I'm 8 or 9. It's what she told me. I have an excuse. You know, it's the find the swear words in the Bible, and then you can use those words because you're quoting scripture. You know, it's that kind of trick. You know,
she said it.
How many white people like to say the N-word, and they're like, I'm just quoting. I'm like, yeah, no. So I go downstairs and I just really, really smile. Like, she said, oh shit. And it wasn't, in my little brain at the time, it wasn't that bad. But it spiraled quickly. Everybody was mad at me. Like, really mad at me. And when Sarah found out, she was really mad at me. Did not go well. And yet, years later, I'm so happy I did it because it makes a great story. It makes a wonderful story. See, so it just, you never know. Like, it, how you're going to look back on stuff. That was, I remember when it came to sex. You're already stretching your imaginary shirt collar there. No, there's the question. What are the conditions by which you are going to lose your virginity? You know, we talked about this a lot when we're teenagers and stuff. It's like, do you wait till marriage?
That's funny. I didn't talk to anybody. Oh yeah, no, that when I was a teenager. Never once did I discuss it with hanging anybody.
No, because we were like, what do you think?
Not my brothers, not anybody.
Because it was right at the time, you know, it was the 80s and the 90s, and so it was right at the time where a lot of people were like, well, they kept telling us till marriage, but now, and sex ed would be like, you know, that's up to you. Like, we were starting to get kind of liberal with this shit. And so we're thinking about it, and I guess when I was really little, I was like, yeah, that's something after marriage. But then later, I was like, no. I'm like, but I went through various stages. I was like, you know, it need to be somebody I knew I was going to marry. So once, like, you get engaged, right, then it's like, well, no, it'd have to be somebody I'm in love with, you know. And we went through all, and I had friends, too. And I think as puberty kicks in and you get hornier and hornier, you start lowering the bar. And eventually, the final bar I hit and stuck with was, it has to be a situation where I am absolutely confident that I won't regret that this was my first time. And I thought this was a pretty good one to work with.
I have to agree, that's a pretty good one.
I liked it. I
actually
was pretty pleased.
And it covers a lot of things, because yeah, it might lead you to conclude, well, maybe I should be married to this person. You know, it's general really enough that...
And it could, honestly, depending on your personality type, it also includes a weird one-night stand you had at a party with somebody whose name you never got, but it was just an amazing experience, and you're so happy that was your first time.
It covers a lot.
Because that's the thing. Because that was the thing. People would talk about, like, you know, oh, I want it to be nice. I'm like, oh, but it would also be fun if it was, you know, an exciting, you know, something like that. It's like, yeah, just as long as you don't look back and be like, oh, God, that's what I did.
Yeah, that's the...
And I am pleased to say I fulfilled that. Looking back now, and it's been quite a while now, still don't regret it. And in case you're wondering, no, I'm not still with that person. And actually, that relationship went really ugly. But my introduction to sex in that way was fine, and I don't regret it. But I also find that hilarious, because I now realize that is pure goddamn luck. Because there's no way I could know, and also I was at an age where I was absolutely being led around by my penis. So I'm just like, it is absolute random chance that that's something you don't regret, because there's no way you could have known, and you were so, like, desperate, and like, you convinced yourself that was true, and you just lucked out that it happened that way. Because, yeah, how would I have known? Like I said, turned out to be nuts. Like, you know, there's a lot of pain associated with that relationship, and honestly, I'm a little surprised it hasn't soured my memory of that experience, but it hasn't. But it's, yeah, it's silly to think that I knew that.
Well, the thing you decided should be sort of your guiding principle, that was pretty clever, really.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point I had gotten to, and I still like that. In fact, I think I maybe have advised young people before, and I've said, no, I think that's a good one.
I think that's very sound advice.
My first kiss was a little lame. I got tricked into it. I was going to kiss, it was my girlfriend at the time, and I went to kiss her on the cheek, and she did that, like, turn her head thing.
Mm.
And it wasn't bad, but it was one of those, like, it didn't even register, because we were at the bus stop, and she was getting on the bus, and so she got on the bus, and then I started walking home, and I was, like, a block away before I was like, huh, that was my first kiss. I got some memories in there.
I guess a lot of people might answer a question like this with, some kind of first. I don't know if my family and I, at least, it doesn't seem like my family's like this, but I'm certainly not like this, made that big a deal out of first things, really. Mm. So, like, I couldn't even tell you a lot of times what my first experience of something was, because it wasn't, I didn't psychologically, you know, think to myself, oh, I've never done this before, now I'm going to do it.
Oh, yeah, no, we were big on that.
No, I didn't really worry about firsts.
It's basic game theory. You give them little achievements and they want to do more.
Well, when the thing is, there were constantly new experiences as we were growing up, you know, because, you know, you get to a certain age and you can be put to work, so you are, and nobody gives you a medal for having the first time you mowed the lawn or the first time you plowed the field or whatever. You just do it, you know, and that's just, all your whole life is like that. Everything just sort of happens when it's time to happen, and there's no discussion about whether or not you've done it before or even whether or not you'll be any good at it, because you probably won't be at first, and then, you know, over time you'll get better at it or whatever.
No, so, I absolutely had a phrase I'm going to coin right now. Don't steal this from me. It's copyrighted, people. I had a participation trophy upbringing.
Yeah.
Very much so.
I sure did.
Which is, you know, manifested largely as unconditional love and support, which is awesome. But when I phrase it as a participation trophy upbringing, you can see how there might be a side to it. there are aspects that I regret and that I think maybe did not make me as good a person in certain ways because of it. But yeah, no, everything I did was awesome. First time, always a big deal. Shit got put on the refrigerator for no reason. they were so proud of me. And about what, do you ask? Just everything. And it's true to this day. I talk to them now. I have not finished my novel, you may recall, because mm-hmm. it's not in your hands or anything. But they have congratulated me on my success with that like 5 times. And I don't talk to them that often. and this is the thing. Like, it's the opposite would be awful. Like, they're so loving and supportive. But yeah, it's... I'm getting love and support diabetes from this. Like, that should be the show name. Love and support diabetes.
Oh, okay.
Then it just sounds like the world's worst charity.
I thought you were going to call it directed by Zack Snyder, but...
Oh. No, that is better. That is better. We got to do that. That'll freak people out.
We're not talking enough about Ayn Rand for it to be directed by Zack Snyder.
But we've had a lot of unnecessary bloodshed.
Yeah.
We've taken established characters and made them very dark.
Do we have enough time?
We totally don't have enough time. I was just actually going to do the wrap up.
All right. Wrap it up.
If you'd like to tell us your favorite memory of my childhood, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and, tell us. Also, tell us your favorite childhood from... Your favorite childhood from William's memories.
Wow. This is a good question for Christmas time. Guys, I've got a lot of great memories from Christmas, but
I know I've
too many.
Screwed up a lot of stuff tonight, but have some patience with me because I was born on fire. Goddamn, that's the title.
Yeah, born
God
on
damn,
fire.
Goddamn, that's the title right there. Yeah, like, I even like directed by Zack Snyder better, but you can't. Like, it has
no.
to be... More, there's not a question. Trish talks about that when we watch At Midnight, and like they're doing bits and they come up with stuff. She's like, why do they always continue after those ones that are so good, you know you should just stop? Because there's always that joke, and you're like, yeah, there's no way anybody's beaten that. And they never do, so it always is anticlimactic when you have like 2 more that are just chuckles. And nowadays she'll see it, and she'll be like, see? That's where they should stop. That was hilarious. And then they keep... So yeah, Born on Fire, you can't. It's the rules. But we love you guys and had a lot of titles we wanted for you. And for those of you who have stuck with us for any amount of time, if you're listening to this, thank you.
Thank you
because
very much.
I'm not saying we wouldn't do it if you weren't here. I used to say that, but I'll be honest, we totally will. We would feel a lot stupider about it if we had 0 audience, like... I feel pretty stupid about it with the number we have right now. I would feel so bad if you guys weren't here. So I rely on you to keep me sane. You can be the judge of how good you've been doing. All right, we'll tune in next week where it'll just be 301. Nobody cares. We have to double up next week, actually.
Okay.
I'll talk to you about that afterward.
Gotcha.
All right, and now he's going to tell me about human nature. So, count yourself lucky or unlucky. I don't know. Your call. But you don't get to hear it.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.